Welcome to the City Gospel Movement's podcast. This is a special series, Sharing the Adaptable Playbook, a framework for success for your evangelism team. Together, we'll explore 11 proven steps that really work for cities across North America who want to raise the temperature of evangelism in their communities. We will hear from practitioners in these cities, humble leaders who have wrestled faithfully with the challenges these steps address. We hope you leave these conversations encouraged and equipped to own the lostness of your city, one step at a time. To learn more about evangelism teams, the Adaptable Playbook, or what God is doing through collaborative evangelism efforts across North America, visit citygospelmovements.org. Today we will hear from Guy Wasko, pastor, author, chaplain, and nonprofit executive, with more than 25 years of experience leading in the church, charity, and community organizing fields. He serves as the founder and executive director of 4NYC, a collective impact city platform that strengthens leaders and unites churches for the flourishing of New York City. He will share about step 10, developing a strategic plan for ongoing evangelistic rhythms. The goal of this step is to discover sustainable outreach opportunities that engage your city practically with the good news, identify and support collaborative opportunities for churches to partner together, create pathways for individuals and leaders to engage in evangelism ministries, identify evangelistic programs for churches and nonprofits, celebrate and accelerate what is happening in your city. What evangelistic activities can we support in our city? Catalyzing actual evangelistic opportunities moves you from leading through equipping and thought to leading through action. Let's hear what this looks like in practice as we dive into today's conversation between Guy and Chris.
Well, hey, thanks for joining us. Another podcast episode as we're going through the Adaptable Playbook. We're on number 10, the idea of developing a strategic plan. What are the ongoing rhythms of evangelism in your city? This is a huge conversation, actually. It's kind of like, what are the things we really want to invest in enough to keep doing them again and again? Hey, this is worth doing again. How do we do this again? How do we do this again well? So this is a big conversation, and I'm super excited to have Guy Wasko joining us. Guy's from New York City. New York is a fairly complicated place. I think that's probably fair to say.
That's fair.
But Guy, you've got 25 years of experience just kind of in ministry there, both as a pastor and doing collaborative work, community organization, charity work. And recently, and this is part of kind of a fun part of the conversation today, recently launching 4NYC, which is this citywide platform, right? This place where people can come together, find that unity for the sake of mission together with 4NYC. So Guy, thank you so much for joining us. Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. What an honor to be with you. And yeah, 4NYC is brand new. So for those that are thinking about getting involved, or you've got this burden, heart for something bigger than what you're currently experiencing, maybe, you know, part of our conversation here will be inspiring and hopeful to you as well.
You're kind of launching this as a new piece. So this is an interesting moment in the conversation and a moment in your timeline, because it's like, what are those things that you're going to invest in kind of to do again and again and again? And we're waiting to see what some of those are, but others you might already have in place. But as you think of this idea, what are the ongoing rhythms that's going to make something like 4NYC valuable? And especially as it relates to this idea of reaching the city of New York with the good news, right? Evangelism, the Great Commission, disciple making. What does that look like for you, especially as you're architecting this thing, getting it off the ground? How does that part of the story kind of play out for you? What does this look like currently?
Yeah, Chris, I mean, I think it's really important for us to understand the dynamics that are already at play in our city. And so there are movements and structures that are already in place. So how is your city organized? What are in our case, there's, 9 million people almost, but they're split up into 5 boroughs. And each of those boroughs have their own neighborhoods, 353 neighborhoods, I think, across the city. And so what I already know is, like, in any given moment, there could be 6 different evangelism conferences, strategies, events happening all across the city on the same weekend. And so let's be aware of what's already there. Let's be aware of how things are already organized. So in our case, there's citywide stuff, but there's also borough-wide. And then throughout the boroughs, how the boroughs sort of broken down. you don't have to use that infrastructure, but as I'm beginning to design for NYC, as it relates to evangelism strategies, as well as like leader care, we're probably pretty wise to not go against the infrastructure that already exists, right? So that's one thing just off the top of your head. A good city leader, in my opinion, is going to be somebody who's aware of the already existing infrastructure and architecture that's there. School boards, community councils, how are those kinds of things already broken down, right? Because again, in a place as complex and as big and as densely populated as New York City, any one strategy is probably not going to be big enough to do it all, right? And then I'm also thinking about data. I think data is really, really important. I think 4NYC will be successful in the future being data informed, not data driven. And so our data-informed sort of reality, it kind of implies, doesn't it, that we're paying attention to what's really going on, to how people are actually responding, to what good news means. In order for that to take place, then, we have to have our finger on the pulse in some way, right? So how are we doing that? Is it just national trends? Are we just paying attention to Barna's study in general, or Pew Research, or what's coming out of Harvard, or you know, other expressions? But for us, what we said is, let's invest in the early days in our own state of the city research project. So I had the resources available. We commissioned Barna along with 4NYC to do a state of the city research project. It took about 6-7 months. We just released that back in April, and that information is available on our website, which is just 4.nyc, super simple. But one of the things we found out, Chris, is like, I think generally Christians walk around thinking that everybody hates us, that we're starting off with like this idea that like, I've got to win you over first and then try to figure out how to tell you about the good news of Jesus. Well, this recent research project for us just showed that actually the majority of New Yorkers, 8 out of 10 New Yorkers, see the church in a positive light. That's remarkable.
That is, that's crazy.
Yeah, so what we're actually realizing then is like, if I, as a follower of Jesus, start off with a defensive posture, it's unnecessary. Because yes, there are still going to be people in New York City that are going to be antagonistic, right? Okay, that makes sense. Done. But according to this data, this new research, the average New Yorker is at least starting off with a positive impression of spirituality and of the church. Well, that's interesting. That's good news. That means my posture should change, right? But if we don't do the data, if we don't do the research, how am I going to know that? I'm not going to know that, right? So as we're beginning building 4NYC, it's really important for us to be data informed. So I'm thinking about architecture that already exists, and then what's the state of things? How are things going? And certain cities or places might not be able to afford a big national, you know, whatever. That's fine. I'm really grateful that we were in a position to be able to do that. And so we start with data.
Mm. Yeah, that's really good. I mean, I think there's always this, you know, kind of idea that our city is super unique, you know, and you take a city like New York, of course, New York's unique. Everybody loves New York, but people are people, you know what I mean? Like, and things that are happening at maybe a larger scale in New York City are also just things that are true of people in general, true of American cities, true of the Western world, however you want to look at that. But there is certainly an openness to the gospel. There certainly is still a very positive view. And I like that idea of, as you guys have looked at some of the data in you know, as a foundational activity in terms of building out rhythms, it's like, hey, before we build out a rhythm, what tempo are we playing at here, right? To use the, you know, rhythm's a musical term, or could be. And it's like, hey, what tempo should we be playing at here? Is this a jazz city? Is this a blues city? Is this a, you know, obviously Seattle's is the grunge city, you know, that's what we're doing here. But getting a sense of what you're listening to so that you kind of know where to and how to invest. And also, there's other musicians, right? If you want to keep going with that metaphor, like there's people who are already doing stuff. There's activities already going on. If somebody's playing, you know, you want to play with them, you might have to jump in, same key, same tempo, and get a sense of what's going on so that you can see these rhythms happening throughout the city and maybe find locations in the city where stuff isn't working or not happening. Man, there's a lot of activity over here. Let's just encourage those people. But there's a gap over here. There's an issue over here. Something as complex as New York City, you know, there's always that desire of like, man, we got to go make a name for ourselves and we got to go bring our, get our logo big and get successful. But when you start thinking about creating a platform for the city, helping the city function well, greasing the wheels, helping that machine work well, what are some of the things you're seeing in New York, right? Like, man, we're already seeing as we're talking to people, these are a couple of things we might need to bring some structure to, or we're seeing some movement, but there's not a lot of coordination. What are some of the rhythms you're starting to see, Guy, for 4.NYC, where it's like, I think we're starting to see some places where we're really needed in terms of providing rhythms?
Yeah, it's great. I think in our first few months of launching 4NYC, a couple of things are starting to emerge or come, you know, become clearer. There are some annual rhythms of things that are amazing that are happening by other organizations that have their annual anchor events already in place. So Hope Day is one of them, right? There's these Hope Days all over the country now, but in New York City, certainly where they started with Pastor Stephen Malazzo, they're incredible. So what we're trying to do is like actually get behind things like Hope Day and things like Jesus Week, right? Like what's happening through Saturate and David Bidell. These are things that I'm not trying to replace them. I, like you said, Chris, we want to get behind them, pour gasoline on them, you know, support them how we can. And our logo isn't important. But what is important is that we maybe funnel some of our resources and energy and momentum. We help spread the word and we just help support those things that are already happening. So they've got those sort of events already taking place. Those are summertime things and they're fun. They're serving. Maybe it's outdoor evangelism or it's a stage like Jesus Week launches in Times Square. Those are things that I would never stand up on 4NYC on its own, probably, unless it really needed to happen. But we're really, really happy to get behind them and support those things. So if that's taking place in the summer, and if you also know the rhythms of New York City, you know that September through December is like hard drive go time. The springtime, winter, things kind of slow down a little bit, but it's a good time to gather people, especially indoors. But the mood is sort of different here in the winter. And then spring is beautiful. It's incredible. People are happy generally. They're more likely to be outside. You're going to be like in any place, you know, you're going to be competing with all those outdoor activities stuff. But it is a time to drive and go after. And then the summertime is a time when everything kind of slows down. People generally disperse. Or maybe there is a time to do like the block party kind of thing, right? The other thing that I'm seeing is opportunities to get behind things that want to happen. And so there's tools and technology and there's events, right? We're talking about events. So the Jesus Week, the Serve Days, those kinds of things. But I think there's also like tools and technology and resources. And so the Bless app is a great example, right? Like how are we praying for our neighbors and how is that actually a tool and a platform for evangelism? And so one thing early on for us, like a rhythm for me is like, if you're going to be a part of 4NYC, you're going to have access to a toolkit, a toolbox that maybe you're not aware of all the tools that are available. And so if you want to mobilize your people, if you're a local pastor, you're in Bensonhurst, Brooklyn, or up in Fordham in the Bronx, and you want to mobilize your people to be everyday missionaries, well, you don't know about the Bless app. Well, we can get that to you. I'll scholarship, 4NYC will scholarship you to get that tool in your church. And then now your whole church is mobilized to pray evangelistically, you know, to bless, to love, to serve, to, you know, hospitality, and to share the gospel. Like that's a really simple tool. We want to get that in the hands of every pastor and every follower of Jesus in the city.
One of the first sort of nuggets of wisdom I got from Kevin Pillau was just his phrase, celebrate and accelerate.
That's
you
right.
Know, like, yeah. One of the things you can do as you're going through the city, as you're out there kind of learning is like, what are the right things to celebrate? And there's stuff that you don't celebrate, right? It's like,
right.
There's stuff that you don't lift up as a model. There's stuff that you don't necessarily want to tell everybody about. And the goal isn't to like tamp those things down, but it's rather to find out what it is that you can celebrate, those rhythms that you can celebrate, those rhythms that you can accelerate. And maybe by celebrating, you do accelerate, right? By just kind of saying, hey, this is a good thing. You should be a part of this. You should check this out. You should be in Times Square, you know, this summer for the launch of Jesus Week. And that's a great power that you have as kind of a neutral convener. And it's kind of an overlooked one, which is like, there's certain things that you're just going to encourage. for a city network that's trying to think collaboratively, creating a rhythm with tools is a really interesting idea. So I know in Portland, they did a listening tour and they created this simple slide deck. And in that slide deck, it was just like, hey, here's some stuff we learned. Can we go through this with your leadership team on your staff or with your elder board or whatever? And that led to just some great evangelism conversations of how could we raise the temperature of evangelism in your church? That's a form of a rhythm, right? Like, hey, we've got this tool, we've got this play we can run. So how do we run it? This is a good play. Let's run it a bunch.
Right.
Yeah. How do you see some of that in terms of when we, you know, everybody wants to talk about movement, but when we're building structure out, when we're thinking of networks and rhythms, you know, how are those rhythms and networks critical to a movement actually happening? How would you unpack that idea a little bit?
One of the things I think about it is in terms of synchronous. So there's moments when we all get together, citywide worship, there's citywide conferences, moments for training and equipping or encouragement, right? Those are things that we put this anchor in the calendar. So for us, every year, 4NYC will do a annual state of the city sort of sharing address, like here's what the data is showing us, and then an annual leader care sort of conference, right? But those are synchronous. That's when we're all getting together. But in terms of structure, if you really want to do true movement, Chris, you realize after studying these kinds of things across human history, you realize that to have real movement, it has to be disseminated. It has to be low control, probably. Think about AA, right? Or Alpha as two examples. Alpha being obviously an evangelism course that's low control, easy to sort of roll out. That's asynchronous. And tools and rhythms or toolkits, trainings, those kinds of things that you're not actually controlling because you don't have to get everybody in the room at the same time. You want to kind of put the cookies on the bottom shelf, to use a phrase that Dave Runyon uses all the time, right? And so how do you disperse that and get that out to the masses, to the most people as possible? So those resources and tools, I think, are really, really important if you really want to see genuine movement. And what also happens to happen is the translate. I think one of the power superpowers of a movement or a platform like 4NYC or Together PDX or whatever is you have to translate the other tools and resources so that it can get to the widest audience. And I don't just mean in terms of different languages, but also like, is it simple enough that somebody in an enclave in some tiny little neighborhood or community in Queens can articulate it in their own way and make sense of it, right? And so I think that's also important and a superpower of 4NYC or you know, platforms like it. The last thing, one other thing I thought of too, Chris, is like when you're talking about infrastructure, we're starting, we're building the scaffolding and all this. One of the things that I think needs to happen in New York City that we're noticing is as we started this idea of an E-team, of an evangelism team, the group of evangelists and people in New York City who care about this, we just realized that you look around the city and you say, there's all these different pockets and training and content and gatherings, but none of them are focused on evangelism in New York. And so for us, a very real part of our strategy early on is to formalize an evangelism team for New York City. Obviously, it doesn't mean that this group of people are going to control all evangelistic strategies in New York. That's ridiculous.
Right.
But Chris, if the evangelists in the city, from Alpha to Crew to Young Life, if they're not all talking together, if there's nobody convening everyone together in a neutral, trusted space, we're probably losing out. We're probably not united. We're probably doubling our efforts. And we're probably not being as effective as if we probably all got together. And here's the other thing that happens when we start strategy, when we start networks like this. We are validating those groups of people who are already doing the work and going to do the work anyway, but they're going to do it in isolation and silos, right? And we've already seen this. Different evangelists and people who, again, maybe they're on-campus ministries, maybe they're part of different sort of pockets of the body of Christ, but they're distributed all over New York. And because we've been able to slowly begin to get them in the room and say, you matter, now they feel empowered.
Yeah.
They feel equipped, right? Like they're emboldened. And now if that part of the body is stronger, then the whole body is stronger. I'm excited about that as well. So in terms of rhythms, paying attention to the frequency, the touch points that are necessary for this burgeoning little E-team is really important to me. And I haven't decided, like we haven't landed on this group is going to meet every month, you know, but this group of people is starting to coalesce, to congeal. And I'm excited about seeing what happens out of that. Because then again, more resources, more tools and training, more awareness, and more support and encouragement. Those are not bad things. Those are all good things that help movement.
Yeah, those are really good. And I think it's kind of a living example of that idea of celebrate and accelerate, because you're saying, hey, we're not celebrating or accelerating evangelism. Like, that is a gap that you guys discovered as you were kind of listening to the city, engaging that kind of Christian ecosystem. And you're kind of going, man, this piece is really, you know, not getting the attention, you know, not getting the visibility that it needs. And that's something we can do. So even just the creation of a team itself is the creation of a rhythm, right? You're creating a group of people who are thinking about this. They're going to be bringing ideas to the table. They're going to be generating stuff. And that's a really big deal. One question I have for you, which gets kind of specific. I mean, you know, people talk about the New York minute, right? But there's a sense of, we're not sticking around for very long. If this restaurant isn't good, we're moving on. There's 1,000 other restaurants within walking distance, you know?
Yeah.
How do you keep some of these rhythms that, and this is a major problem. So one of the rhythms we have as a church is like, we just meet every Sunday. And that's, you think about how valuable that is, right? Like that my kids know the story of Jonah and kind of know a little bit about what that means, you know, that the Lord is calling and sending us and that we can kind of turn from that. I mean, like, they know the story because they're just in this rhythm of being in God's word and being in fellowship with the church. So when we're looking at raising the temperature of evangelism in a city, creating some rhythms around that, you know, one thing that happens is it's like, hey, how do we make this Sunday a little different from last Sunday? How do we make the experience this time a little different? A value of rhythm is that you're locking something in and it's, you know, I'm going to work out every morning, or I'm going to, you know, those rhythms are what really build you as a person. But we also need to bring creativity. We need to allow for, you know, the Holy Spirit and flexibility in that. As you guys start looking at existing movements in your city, are you seeing some rhythms that are kind of, you know, not that you need to name them, right? But like, are you seeing some things that's like, man, that's a really powerful idea. It needs a tune-up. It needs some help. How do we keep these rhythms from being monotonous in a city like New York? How do you keep from too many rhythms going on every weekend? There's something we're asking people to do. How do you Right. How do you plan to kind of manage that with 4NYC?
Yeah, that's good. It's basically like a liturgy, right? Like, we have these anchors, these disciplines. I think it's a really good way to think about it, Chris. One example is, like, I grew up in the day and age when it was like the bridge illustration, right? Like, you grab a napkin, you're in a restaurant, you meet, you know, post-it note, and you draw the bridge, right? Well, there's all these different expressions of, like, being able to illustrate the good news as we talk about evangelism. Well, one church that I'm familiar with has started doing send Saturdays, not sin Saturdays. We do that pretty naturally and pretty good on our own. Send Saturdays. And what they do is, one Saturday a month, they put the invitation out to their church. They get a handful of folks to show up. They do a really quick training around the three circle illustration, the three circle, God's brokenness, you know, wholeness, the goodness, and that. It's just a drawing, and they've made stickers even. And so the stickers are on water bottles and notebooks. And so it's just a contemporary version of the old bridge illustration, right? It's just a tool. Well, they do a training around it, and they go two by two, and they go to the streets, and they're doing old school street evangelism. And this is a church, if I told you the name of it, you would know the name. Most people would know the name of this church and the name of this pastor. But they're just committed because they realize not every person in the city is going to show up to an evangelistic concert or a cantata at Easter, or, you know, those kinds of bigger things that you think of. And so they're trying to literally mobilize, give tools to their people so that they can go out and be everyday missionaries. And this Send Saturday is an anchor 12 times a year where they're going to train people and send people out. They go out for a couple hours, they come back, they share stories, what worked, what didn't work. They're constantly modifying and adapting, but they're also celebrating because, you know, for every one bad conversation or a difficult conversation, somebody's going to come back and say, you won't believe this. I just sat down next to this guy in this park and he came to faith. We prayed with him and he's going to come to church tomorrow or what, you know what I mean? It's really encouraging and energizing and emboldening. So there's like rhythms like that and places where we actually have to think about equipping the saints for the work of ministry. And again, I think I'm not pastoring one church anymore. I'm now leading an organization that's leading pastors and hopefully equipping, you know, the whole ecosystem, right? So again, what are those tools? What are those resources that we have where we could do, we can't update, you know? We can make the little innovations. Unite Alpha is another one. Like every church in the city could do their own alpha. But what if we got 10 or 100 or 1,000 churches doing alpha at the same time? They start in the same week. They go away on retreat together, and then they finish the program all at the same time. Now there's this groundswell. There's this momentum, the flywheel, right? Jim Collins, good to great sort of idea. This thing is starting to build, right? And now you're like, oh, you're going to alpha over there? Great, I'm doing alpha over here. And I'm not saying alpha is the end all be all. It might not work for some places and some churches, and you know, but in this case, the Alpha team here and about 15 churches are doing United Alpha. And so it's taking what normally is an individualized program. They're doing it together across the city. I think the Unite Retreat, Unite Alpha Retreat is a great idea. And building unity in that way and momentum, shared resources. Now 10 or 15 churches are going away to a retreat one weekend instead of just a bunch of individual churches trying to figure out how to pull off a retreat experience. So I think that's another innovative, it's a very small thing, but it's just, let's just take an existing thing and bring more people in together. And I think that's
in coordination. Yeah, no, that's great. I mean, along that line of thinking, you know, as you guys are again, fairly new in kind of the platform idea of 4.NYC, how do you know which things to kind of get behind? You know, give me a little bit of your behind the scenes thinking, because a lot of people listening to this are people who are doing a similar work in their city, right? So how do you know which things to kind of get behind and which rhythms to kind of encourage? And then how do you actually get that vision out? So especially in New York, it's like, are you going to send an email? Like, I mean, how do you actually get your evangelistic rhythms into unique spaces in the city where you're actually reaching folks and actually seeing if things work or not? Like, how do you get the word out and how do you know which ones to kind of share?
Yeah, so there's two different sort of questions, right? Like, one is the distribution question, one is a discernment question. And so the discernment is, I've always prioritized relationship and trust in relationship. So who are the people that I automatically know are trusted in that space? In this case, you know, evangelism. So who are the people that are already trusted in that space? Obviously, part of discernment is the prayer. It's just the process of interceding and praying for wisdom. The scriptures tell us that if we don't have wisdom to ask for it, and God gladly will give it to us. And so I think there needs to be a sense of prayerfulness in these endeavors, of course. And so who do I already trust? Who's already doing the work? What's God already saying? Like, how do I pray through this? And then I think we have to just have a sense of like, just trying. Like, I mean, I think in certain cases, this is the process of innovation. We build and test fast, we learn fast, and we adapt. And that process has to be fairly fluid. And so if we're talking about, you know, rolling out a citywide festival, you know, like LPA did back in 2014, 2015, that's a whole different thing. That's really hard to build fast and test fast, right? But if we're talking about rolling out a new tool that is untested in New York, well, I'm probably going to go to a couple of trusted, you know, pastors or friends and be like, hey, what do you think about this? What does this look like to you? Would you be willing to try this? You know? So I think the discernment and then that's on the discernment side. The distribution side is leveraging all forms of communication, right? Because the strongest story might not be the most compelling tool or most effective, but the strongest story is going to win. So this is a battle for airtime. It's really an endeavor to capture people's attention. And so I do think it's important for us to, and this is something that we are working on actively right now, from our SEO, from our workflow and our email, MailChimp, our CRM, and then all the way through other distribution channels. So social media, you know, who are our advocates? What spaces and rooms do we need to be in so that we can gain momentum, gain credibility, gain awareness, right?
Yeah.
And I think those are some of the things that we have to be careful. It's part of building. It's part of organizational structure. It's part of reality in a social media age. You know, we've got to
Yeah, for sure.
More.
Well, I think that's really good. And I think, you know, that idea of, you know, telling whoever has the best story sort of wins. And I think in the case of evangelism, of course, like to make the obvious connection, it's like we have a remarkable story, right? Like your creator knows and loves you. And so it's not like, yeah, we should try to tell that story well. It's like we have to tell it well. Like yep. This is the story. This is the story. And as we get excited about telling that story, I do think it builds the faith of the church. I think it builds hope. You know, it builds a posture, like you said, of engagement. We started this conversation with kind of that idea that, man, we had to learn first what's going on in the city. It's like, man, 8 out of 10 New Yorkers already have a positive view. So it's like, if we're coming in sketchy, is there a problem here that I'm not aware of? You know,
yeah, why are you so defensive?
Yeah, exactly. You know, so this idea of, as we're thinking through rhythms, you know, to just kind of recap what we've talked about today, it's like we're talking about this idea of what are those things we can do in an ongoing manner that bring value, that highlight, that encourage those who are already working in the space of evangelism. And bring those to the forefront and invite the greater body of Christ to see and value these things and treasure these things. And then we're also talking about the idea of kind of being able to discern what's going on. Prayer, of course, is really critical. That's why we love the idea of creating a team. It's like, who's going to discern this stuff? How are we going to know which ones to invest in, which ones to not invest in? So I love how you said, you know, discernment and distribution being two different things, but let's discern what the right pieces are. What are the right rhythms to get behind? Our little Bible study just finished Nehemiah, but it's like they read the Bible and realized there was a festival they weren't celebrating. It's like, hey, we got to start doing that again. You know, the feast of, you know, the tabernacles, right? And it was like, we got to start doing this again. We forgot part of our story. And so they start a festival again, which is a pretty remarkable piece. But yeah, this is such important work, and getting some people who can discern this well. And then, you know, that distribution question, it really is it's an expertise question. It's like, we don't just have the right story. We've got some people who can share it in an expert way, in a way that's really going to connect, that's going to be valuable to the listener. And we're going to share that story in a way that translates well to our audience. And so those are two really key things to think about. Guy, I'm just wondering, as people are thinking through this in their own city, as they're thinking about developing their own rhythms, you guys in New York are in this space. And so if you're listening to this, pray for New York. It's a big, complicated city. Pray for Guy and his team. But what kind of final words of wisdom would you give folks as they think through this work, and where do we invest? What are the rhythms that we ought to get behind? Any final thoughts there?
Yeah, Chris, I mean, I think the thing that's top of mind for me as we think about evangelism is that this is something that obviously is at the core, at the heart of the gospel, of God's heart for a place. So we're already in alignment with the Lord on this, but we also have to remember that there are principalities and powers at work. And so I think part of the evangelist's opportunity, invitation, is to know what's the thing beneath the thing. Like what's the principality and power, the narrative of your city, of your particular town? Is there a stronghold? Is there a particular narrative that's true of your city that you probably need to be aware of in order to be an effective evangelist? So this is less about architecture and structure. It's more about the spiritual sort of realities of the actual battle that we're in, of the actual reality of the landscape that we're in, that we do have an enemy, and that enemy wants to kill and steal and destroy. And so my last word, I guess, my encouragement would be, as leaders in this space, we should probably be very prayed up, and we should be aware of the thing beneath the thing as we think about what's good news to our city. So for instance, New York City was built on the deal. It was, you know, there's the original, Dutch show up and they're making trades and deals with the indigenous people who already lived here. And up until this day, New York City is known for a lot of things, but it's a place of commerce. It's a place of the deal, of making money, of marketplace. And it's driven, and it's about that. And so I want to figure out what are the principalities and powers, or how do I pray into this? How do I discern and bring good news, make the good news of Jesus good news to people who are caught up in that endeavor. And so I guess I think I would bring us back to that spiritual reality. It's, again, it's less about, you know, technically step 10 and the architecture or rhythms, but we should certainly be reminded that even in a moment like this, when lots of people seem open to spiritual conversations, there's still a thing beneath the thing that we need to be aware of. So what is that for you? What is that for your city? And if you're not aware of it, go on a journey, find out, ask questions, pray about it. And then once you know what it is, now you're more informed to be able to effectively evangelize.
And now you have a stronger story, right? Back to your point, it's like, it's part of the story. Like the gospel isn't just a disembodied spiritual statement. It's like, here's how this is good news for the story. You've bought into this story. Let me share another story that's maybe a little nuanced, a little different than that story, maybe the opposite of that story, but right. Thinking through that, what a powerful thing. And then to create those rhythms of telling that story. We already have some of these, like Easter, Christmas, like we're telling these stories, but those are powerful moments in the life of a church and the life of a body. And so to think through that for your city is a real privilege, you know? It's a very cool thing that you get to do. And so maybe, Guy, as we close out, thank you so much for your thoughts and your insights on this. Maybe as we close, could you maybe just say a prayer for those people who are kind of sitting in that spot where they get to think through that story in their city and how the good news, the ultimate story, could reach those that they are loving well, their neighbors. So, could you pray for us as we close out?
Yeah, sure. Let's do it. God, thank you so much for the chance for us to be able to just wrap our heads around this idea of building rhythms and structure around a city gospel movement as it relates to evangelism. Lord, we thank you that we are a part of a bigger story that is so profoundly beautiful, that it's staggering how much you love us and how much you have given to be able to bring us home, to rescue and renew. And Lord, we know that this is something that you want to do in every city, in every town, in every heart across this country and this world. And Lord, I pray for wisdom, for resources, God, for early adopters, strategic plans, and for early fruit, God, that people would find hope in you, that leaders would be inspired and equipped, and that we would know exactly what to do, that we would be inspired by your Holy Spirit, and we'd be found obedient. We trust you with the fruit. In your name we pray. Amen.
What an encouraging conversation. To learn more about the resources shared in this podcast or to download the Adaptable Playbook, check out citygospelmovements.org. Join us next time for a conversation with two city leaders who have deep insight on the final step in the Adaptable Playbook, step 11, catalyzing large-scale citywide events and outreaches.